It's hard to believe, but this Thursday will mark a year since Margaret Olley died in her Surrey Hills home, aged 88. And tonight at 9:30, ABC One's Artscape is airing a documentary about her life. It's called Margaret Olley, A Life in Paint. And here's her close friend and curator, Barry Pierce, talking through the magic of her largest work, A Triptych of the Yellow Room.
There's a sort of an ideal distance that you stand back where you can see it all gelling together, but as you walk in closer, it sort of disintegrates into pure energy in front of your very eyes. So the key is you go up close and then you come back slowly and you find that point where it all gels together, and then you're in Margaret's world. You're absolutely in Margaret's world, the way she saw her painting.
Well, that makes it a bit more definite. I think I'll need a little bit more sunlight to paint. I had all those cyclamens sitting down about an inch lower, so I'm trying to raise them up and make more of a flow to the painting.
And it's very nice to be able to welcome Barry Pierce this morning. Hello there, Barry.
Hi, Katya.
How did you come to know Margaret?
Well, I started working at the Art Gallery of New South Wales in 1978, and I went to an exhibition of her work at the Holdsworth Galleries in 1982, and she happened to be there. And I was just so struck by this wonderful sense of her carrying the torch as it were, for a great European tradition of painting, particularly of the French painters she loved in the modern era. And I expressed my admiration for the paintings, and we started talking about things, and we sort of both worried about the marginalisation of painting from the contemporary art scene then, because, you know, there was a tsunami of installation, conceptual and performance work and videos and photography coming in, pushing painting off the edge of the stage. And she said, "Well, Barry, I think you and I are on the same page about this." And we just became friends from that point. That was 1982.
What was life like inside Margaret's world?
Well, it was like it's almost inexplicable, really, because once you entered her house and her studio, which were one and the same thing. I mean, she lived where she painted and she painted where she lived. It was like being in a magic forest. And when you looked at her paintings and you watched her paint, which very few people were allowed to do, so I felt very privileged in that sense, you just became suspended in this kind of magic. And you realise it wasn't a magic that was out of reach, that it was the magic that could become yours, and that the way she saw the world was the way you could see the world, and I think that's one of her great legacies.
The film alternates between intimate portrait of her by people like yourself who knew her well, and then clips of Margaret herself from one of the last major interviews she ever gave. What's the result, having seen it?
Well, for me personally, it was quite an emotional moment to see that film. I mean, I've been working with Catherine Hunter, the filmmaker, over a couple of years. In fact, I've worked with Catherine on many of her films over, like, 25 years, in fact. And Catherine is she has such wonderful skill as a filmmaker, but she also has this deep simpatico with her subjects. That she creates the kinds of films that you never want to end. You just want them to keep on going and going. And she's really captured the essence of Margaret. And once Margaret passed away, I felt her loss quite deeply. But somehow this film just embraces her essence, her wisdom, her generosity, her passion for life. It's all summarized beautifully in this film, and I find it quite moving. And I can see it over and over again, and I hope other people will too.
Barry Pierce is with us on ABC Mid-North and North Coast, close friend and curator of Margaret Olley, in fact, has participated in the documentary that you can see tonight at 9:30 on ABC, the Artscape program, which is called Margaret Olley, A Life in Paint. In the documentary, you take the audience on a guided tour of her house. Now, you mentioned she worked and where she lived and lived where she worked. What was her house like? I've seen photographs. It looks quite crazy and almost shambolic in a wonderful kind of artistic way.
Well, it's interesting. People often describe it, and I've described it myself as sublime chaos. but in fact, it became more shambolic with time, because as she grew more fragile in the last few years, she found less time to put order, keep order in the house. So if you went to that same house, say 5 or 10 years ago, the spaces were much more clearly defined. You could see the floors and the wonderful Persian carpets everywhere, but at the very end, you could hardly walk around. You'd keep tripping over things. There were piles of catalogues and flowers and vases and objects everywhere, and you had to sort of pick your way through the spaces. So finally, in the end, she just had to conserve her energy for painting and less time for maintaining order in the house. But it's a beautiful... The house is a very big Paddington Terrace in Duxford Street, but she never actually lived in that house that you see from the outside. You had to walk up the side lane, because on the side of the house was an extension which was an old hat factory. And she bought it. When she bought it, it was no longer functioning as a hat factory, of course, but she found all the things for making hats inside it. And that's where she eventually lived and worked. And originally, she lived in a little room between the hat factory and the main house, because she needed the income of renting. She had to be a landlady. So she lived in a really virtually a little bedsit room between the hat factory and the main house. That's the room we now refer to as the yellow room.
Okay, and the downstairs studio, which will be recreated at the Tweed River Art Gallery, what was the significance of that room?
Well, the thing is, when you walked through it, if you could manage to walk your way through it in the end, you'd keep coming across a little palette with tubes of paint and a sort of a mise-en-scene, as like a little setup of still lifes or bottles or vases with flowers. And you sort of, oh, I recognise that. It's in the paintings. So she used to set up her living space with motifs, which she would move from one to another, depending on her mood or whether she felt like moving on to a different kind of picture. So you were literally inside her studio, but it was at the same time where she lived and slept and ate and entertained her friends. The studio and the home were just indistinguishable from each other.
And Barry, you took some vision of Margaret painting her triptych of the Yellow Room, which turned out to be the biggest of her works. Why was this so significant?
Well, she always painted domestic size paintings, and they were the classic French proportion paintings that she was kind of loyal to. You know, the people like Bonnard and Vuillard and Gauguin and Cézanne and all those painters. She saw them as painting a certain scale of painting which could fit comfortably on an easel, although she never used an easel herself in her mind about that. And on one trip we made overseas to an exhibition she had in London, we came back via Paris, and we went to the D'Orsay Museum, and she said, I want to go upstairs to that mezzanine gallery on the right-hand side. It's just inside the entrance. And we went up, and there were all these large-scale paintings by Vuillard and Bonnard, so large that if you hung them in a house, they would look like murals, you know, filling up a whole wall. And she looked long and hard at those pictures, and when we got back, she never said anything. And then when we got back to Sydney, the next time I visited her, she'd ordered these huge pieces of masonite or hardboard, and she was attempting a triptych. And I just about fell over. I said, so you're going to have a go? She said, yes. I'm going to show my male counterparts what I can do.
Oh, I can't wait to see the documentary tonight. It sounds absolutely fascinating.
And, you'll see all the story of that in the film.
Oh, Barry, thank you so much for having a chat to us today. It's been lovely.
Pleasure.
Barry Pearce there, who is a close friend of the late Margaret Olley.